Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Open Systems Media eCast titled Verifying the Safety of Avionics Software for DO-178 Certification. Today's event is sponsored by MathWorks. My name is Jerry Gipper. I'm the Editorial Director for Vita Technologies, and I'll be moderating today's event. Before we start, I'd like to point out a couple of items for you to note about your eCast viewer console. First, there's several buttons along the bottom, and one of them is the Submit the Question area. At the end of the presentation, we will address the selected questions as our time permits. You may submit your questions at any time during today's session. There's also an enlarged screen button. This will enlarge your view of the slides as they are presented. It makes it much easier for you to view the material. There's also a download slides button there for you. A lot of people have requests to download slides. They will also be available online at the end of the presentation. And there's also a forward to a friend. We encourage you to invite others to join us today as we go through the presentation. I would also like to point out that we have a couple of flash clips that are embedded in the presentation, so you need to be sure you have a browser that will handle flash, especially some of you Apple users. So with that, that's the housekeeping side of it. Today's presentation, sometimes it takes an exceptional event to spur innovation. The failure of the maiden flight of Ariane 5, where a runtime error resulted in destruction of the launch vehicle, was the event that inspired the development of Polyspace, a static code analysis tool. Today, we're going to learn how to use Polyspace to meet DO-178 requirements and achieve zero runtime errors in your most critical embedded software. You'll find out how engineers are using Polyspace static analysis tools to check for standards compliance, find difficult coding bugs, prove robustness, and meet DO-178 requirements using a unique formal method approach called abstract interpretation. Polyspace verifies every possible execution of your code to find and prove runtime errors. Polyspace considers edge cases and corner cases that other verification techniques miss. You can use Polyspace static analysis tools on C, C++, and Ada code written by hand or generated from models. You'll learn how to use Polyspace to increase reliability and confidence without increasing testing. In this webinar, you'll discover how to quickly find bugs in your code, enforce coding rules standards like MRSA, JSF, prove your software safe from runtime errors, and meet DO-178 requirements. Polyspace Code Prover proves that your software is safe from overflow, divide by zero, out of bounds, array access, and other critical runtime errors. Along with Polyspace Bug Finder, you can check for MRSA compliance, identify programming errors, control flow, and data flow problems. Our speaker today is Ram Charukhi. Ram is the technical marketing manager for Polyspace products at MathWorks. He has a background in aerospace engineering and is a Polyspace product expert. In this role, Ram works with leading customers in the aerospace industry to identify code verification and validation strategies that can be applied to the development of safety and business-critical embedded systems. Ram joined MathWorks in 2010 to help support MathWorks customers deploy model-based design. He has extensive experience in computational fluid dynamics and mathematical modeling. Ram received his master's in aerospace engineering from Purdue University and has a bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering from IIT Bombay in India. With that, Ram, I'm going to turn it over to you, and also I'd like to remind the listeners that we will be taking questions during the session and answer those at the end. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Ram.
Thanks, Jerry, for the introduction, and good afternoon, everyone. So welcome to this presentation on verification of avionics software for DO-178 certification. And let me begin this presentation by identifying why. Why do we need software verification in the first place? Why is it of concern to us? When you think about safety-critical and mission-critical applications, it's because of the consequences associated with failure of such complex systems. Here I have three case studies to start with, starting with the Ariane 5 rocket launcher that crashed because of an overflow error in the navigation system of the launch vehicle. Then we have the USS Yorktown, which failed at sea because of a divide-by-zero error in the propulsion system of the ship. Finally, we also have the THRAC-25 radiation system, which tragically claimed 6 lives because of an overdose. And these were a direct result of race condition and overflow error in the THRAC-25 radiation system. So this kind of puts a lot of emphasis on the quality of the software for these systems, and software verification becomes really critical. A few more examples, very specific to the aerospace industry here, are some of the costly failures that occurred. And you can actually get an idea of the cost of such failures, the most costly being the Titan IV failure, which cost about $1.5 billion. This was just because of misplacement of the decimal point in the software that resulted in in this failure. So, again, we have the Ariane 5 and most recently the Messenger comes to mind. So these are some examples of the consequences of having defects in your software, especially in mission-critical and safety-critical systems. And I think this is a good reason for us to look at standards such as DO-178, because the standards help us mitigate some of the risk by specifying the guidelines, and they guide the development process to safeguard against some of this risk. With that, let me talk about the DO-178 standard. DO-178B or C refers to a set of RTCA documents that provide guidelines for production of software for airborne systems so that they perform their intended function and you meet the airworthiness requirements. So that's a generic probably definition for your DO-178 standard. DO-178C is the your revision to DO-178B. And the essential objectives, so the standard itself contains a set of objectives and it requires certain activities to be done at various stages of your software safety lifecycle, be it in the planning stage, development, verification, or even during the maintenance phase. So it's a set of objectives and activities that need to be performed throughout the lifecycle of the project. I just have a couple of points here. So the focus of the standard usually is on defensive programming, and we also have supplement documents. When you look at the new revision, DO-178C, we have supplements like DO-330, 331, and so on and so forth that kind of address the improvements in methodologies, be it in the design or in the verification of such complex systems. With that brief introduction, let me talk about Section 6 or Part 6 of the DO-178 document, which concerns itself with software verification. And this is going to be the focus of the talk today and how Polyspace tools can help you in the software verification process. But we'll also be talking about how Polyspace can help you in throughout the development process. So if the key purpose of the software verification cycle is to detect and report errors. So the wording is kind of important here because fixing of errors is considered as part of the development process. So verification process, its main objective is to detect and report errors. So traditionally, testing has been a standard way of meeting such verification requirements, but the case studies we have seen so far can be good examples of why testing alone is not sufficient. All these systems went through rigorous testing processes, but still there were defects that were missed. And this is inherent to testing because testing alone cannot exhaustively verify all possible runtime scenarios. And this becomes especially important given the complexity of systems that we are developing these days. Having said that, testing is still the best solution for functional validation, that is to test if you're meeting the high-level and low-level requirements, but it is not an effective way to exhaustively prove the absence of errors. Here are a few experts from excerpts from the DO-178 document itself that highlight this fact, and they also highlight the role of formal methods in complementing testing. formal method, in fact, can help reduce some of the testing activities and thereby decreasing the cost and time associated with the overall testing activities. So the new revision to the DO-178C, DO-178 standard, which is the DO-178C, has a formal method supplement, which is the DO-333 document, which further stresses on this aspect. So here again, a few statements from the document that emphasize the benefit of formal methods. So formal methods give you proof of properties, which is the only way of doing exhaustive verification. It also defines what formal methods mean. As you can see here, the statement it reads, an analysis method can only be regarded as formal method if its determination of a property is sound. And soundness is again defined as an analysis that can that when asserts a property to be true, it may not be true. It can never assert a property to be true when it's not true. So just to simplify that, it is a little complicated in the way it's worded, but what it essentially means is there cannot be any false negatives. That is to say that when you have proven a certain operation to be safe, it can never fail. And again, through this presentation, I'll try to demonstrate how Polyspace is able to accomplish that. So with that context, let me highlight the top three benefits of Polyspace tools as part of the DO-178 development process. It can assist in developing high-quality code right during the design and coding phase by letting you check for compliance to coding standards, such as MISRA, and detect defects early, especially things like dead or deactivated code. Then you can also use it during software testing phase for low-level verification or integration testing activities. So essentially you can use these tools to prove the absence of runtime errors, things like overflow errors, divide by zeros, and this can also help you in optimizing your testing activity. Last but not least, Polyspace can also help you generate artifacts that can be used as part of your certification process. And the overall goal of the use of Polyspace is to improve the quality of the software and avoid defects in the resulting software. Let me give you an example. Here we have a customer story. Alinea used Polyspace and other MathWorks tools to design, verify, and certify the autopilot software for the M346 Advanced Military Trainer aircraft. So they used Polyspace tools for DO-178 Level A certification to check for runtime errors, and they also used it to check for compliance with the MISRA standard, and in doing so, they gained certification credits. But I find this code very valuable here, which highlights the benefit of use of tools like Polyspace, which is higher quality certified software and faster iterations. So it reduces it shortens your verification and testing cycles. This user story can be found on our website, and I've embedded the link below if anybody is interested in reading it further. Now, with that, let me move over and talk about the traditional V model for software development. So this, most of you must be familiar with it. You start with system requirements of the on the left. Then you have the software requirements, software design phase, coding phase, followed by software integration, hardware-software integration, and finally the vehicle integration and calibration. The stages that are colored in blue represent those that are covered by the DO-178 standard. And as you can see here, I've mapped out how Polyspace can assist you in various stages of this life cycle. As I mentioned before, there is a software design and coding phase where you can check for compliance to conformance to coding standards and also detect bugs early. Then you have the low-level verification or integration verification stages where Polyspace can help you improving the absence of errors and also help you reduce some of the testing activity. In fact, if I map these verification activities, they can broadly be classified into error prevention and error detection techniques. Compiler warnings and coding standards help you prevent potential defects, and there are static analysis tools that can help you, that can only help with coding rules. Then there are the other tools that can help you in detecting some of the defects, which we talk about in error detection. But Polyspace code verification products offer the complete tool suite that address all of these aspects. Polyspace Code Prover and Polyspace Bug Finder, as you can see here, are part of this verification solution. And over the course of the presentation, I'll try to highlight the capabilities of these tools and how they fit into the overall workflow. As a side note, we also have a code proving solution for the Ada language. With that, let me begin to introduce Polyspace Bug Finder, which helps you in finding bugs and in checking for coding rule compliance very early in your development lifecycle. So when you're developing code, a good starting point is to check for conformance to coding standards, because they help you in avoiding unsafe and unreliable coding constructs. So in doing so, they help improve the overall quality of the code being developed. So coding standards in general are a set of guidelines that help you develop consistent code that improve both the readability and maintainability of the code in the future. Now, just to understand them, let me show you a simple example here where I'm using fourth-level pointer dereferencing. Now, will this code compile? The answer is yes, but it's debatable whether this is of high quality and if it's something that you would adopt as a coding practice for high-integrity applications. It also, coding standards also help you in decreasing the complexity of the code and make it easier to test. They do so by restricting the language into a safer subset. And here I have a couple of examples of most popular coding standards, like the MISRA-C and C++ standard, and then we have the GSF standard. MISRA-C standard is one of the widely adopted standards. It was developed by MISRA, which stands for Motor Industry Safety Reliance Association. So it was developed primarily for automotive industry, but it's also widely accepted now in the avionics industry. So coming to the Polyspace Bug Finder, Polyspace Bug Finder supports coding standards like MISRA and GSF. It also gives you the ability to customize these standards, so you can select a subset of standard that is applicable for your application or software being developed. In addition, you can also define your own custom coding rules, like naming conventions and be it for variables or functions, and so on and so forth. It is important to check for compliance to standards early in the development process, as it becomes tedious to comply with them once the application has already been developed. Let's say, for example, you begin to use pointer arithmetic in your application. Now, this is a violation with respect to MISRA, and if you have to go back and rewrite all of your code, that would be highly ineffective. So it's better to start complying with the coding standard right when you're developing the code, and this would also save you time in your code reviews. In addition to coding rules, Polyspace Bug Finder also helps you in detecting bugs, such as programming errors, data flow errors, static and dynamic memory errors, as early as the coding stage itself. Detecting such defects early in the coding phase is effective, as all of you must be aware, because you not only address them right away, but it avoids all of the rework that is associated in fixing these bugs and retesting them, etc. A last point here is if you're using model-based design tools like Simlink or Rhapsody, Polyspace Bug Finder has integration with them, and this helps you trace back the results directly to your model, which is usually the executable specification when you're doing design based on models. Here is a sample of a category of bugs that are detected by Bug Finder. So just to highlight a few, we have numerical defects like integer and floating point overflows, divide by zeros, Then we have static memory defects like buffer overflows or null pointers. Then we also have this data flow category that highlights defects like dead code, non-initialized variables, writes without reads, and so on. Let me now introduce you to the other product, which is a Polyspace Code Prover product. Polyspace Code Prover is a deep verification tool based on abstract interpretation, and it lets you run exhaustive verification to prove the absence of runtime errors. So Polyspace Code Prover is a sound tool, and as described in the standard, it means that there are no false negatives. That is, once Polyspace Code Prover proves that an operation is safe, it can never result in a runtime error. And the implications of this are deep in that this significantly reduces the amount of testing, because once these operations have been proved as safe, you need not write test cases to further demonstrate being devoid of any defects. So again, I'll try to demonstrate this capability later in the presentation with the help of a demo. But before we do that, let me describe the semantics of colors used by Polyspace Code Prover and how and what they mean. An operation is colored green when it's proven safe for all runtime conditions. And since Polyspace is a formal methods tool, it means that there are no false negatives. That is, once it's colored green, it means it's a safe operation. And therefore, you can stop worrying about writing test cases for those operations. Then we have the color red that indicate color red basically means it's a definite runtime error. The runtime error occurs every time you run the code. So not all runtime errors manifest themselves as a crash, or you do not see symptoms of it, but you have undeterministic behavior occurring, and those are the defects that Polyspace colors as red. So these are errors that should be fixed right away. Then we have the color gray to highlight dead code. These are unreachable parts of your code. Again, being able to detect dead code early spares you all the effort in trying to get 100% code coverage by writing more and more test cases. So this is a useful step before you even look at testing. Finally, the color orange indicates what do you call as conditional runtime errors. So these are the errors that can happen only under specific runtime scenarios, say for a specific combination of inputs or a particular combination of parameter values. We can in some cases you can call them as edge cases, and when you have such defects, you can further optimize your testing to focus on that particular piece of code that has orange defects, and this might also indicate some potential missing requirements. So with that, let me bring up an example here. So we have a simple example code. And the point of this example is to kind of understand how the formal methods and the ability to prove help us in proving the absence of errors and how it impacts the amount of testing that we do. So I have a simple piece of C code here, which is about 24 lines, and I have a hypothetical function that takes two sensory positions as two inputs, and it returns an integer. So if you're doing a code review and you're looking at this code, trying to detect potential defects, you would likely be drawn to line 21, which has the division operation. And the question there would be, could there be a bug on this line? An even harder question here would be, what set of test cases would I have to write to detect to detect the presence of a potential runtime error? Even with a small function, it is difficult to come to a conclusion with a traditional code review process. In fact, when you look at this line closely, there are three potential runtime errors that are possible. Variables X and Y may not be initialized, so there is there's a potential of that happening. Then we have the potential for an overflow due to the subtraction operation. And then when x equals y, there's a potential for a divide by zero. So how do we prove that runtime errors do or do not exist? So how about we look at possibility of testing? So if I were to look at testing my code for all possible combinations of inputs, in this case, I've considered my inputs as N32s. So I would have to run test cases to the order of 10 raised to 18. So, and if you have to, just for fun, try to compute how much time it would take to run so many test cases, it takes about 340,000 years. So we can say that exhaustive testing is therefore not possible or not the best way to tackle this problem. So let me now show how this can be achieved without running a single test case within a matter of a few seconds. In the example that we just saw, you could have added some defensive code to ensure divide by zero never happens, but in the example that we just saw, it would have only resulted in dead code. We also saw how Polyspace can be a valuable tool in the code review process as it provides you with detailed information about the data propagation, control flow, etc. These could be really helpful when you try to understand the behavior of the code. Polyspace code verification is therefore unique because it is able to exhaustively verify all possible runtime scenarios, say for all combinations of inputs, parameters, all possible paths, and so on. It statically proves the dynamic behavior of your code. We also saw how the data range information helps us in understanding the runtime behavior. So the benefit of the ability to prove happens to be in optimizing your test and verification cycles because it helps you to focus on the functional part of testing and also it helps you in focusing testing activities on those parts of your code that have potential defects. Even when you're looking at legacy code projects that are under maintenance, when you make changes to your code base, you can quickly verify and prove that a certain change does not introduce new bugs, or if there are any bugs, you can focus on that part of the code. Now that we have looked at the ability to prove and how it helps in optimizing the amount of testing, let me also walk you through a demo that shows how both Polyspace Code Brewer and Bug Finder tools help you improve the quality of your code that is being developed and how to comply with some of the DO requirements right in the software design phase. So next up is another demo that will walk you through a workflow. All right. Last but not least, the use of Polyspace tools also help you in getting certification credits for some of the verification objectives. DO-178 document has tables such as these as part of Annex A, which contain a summary of objectives and outputs for various verification activities. Here is an example of the credits that you can get with Polyspace Bug Finder and Polyspace Code Prover. This is talking about table A5. I don't expect you to read this, but here's just an example. So table A5 concerns itself with verification of outputs of software coding and integration process. So we have tables A3 through A7 that are concerned with software verification process. Let's actually take a look at a couple of these tables. Here we have table A5, and let's pick one of the objectives here. Objective number 2, which is row 1, talks about source code compliance with software architecture. The table itself has the reference that explains this further. So if you look at that, what the document says is you need to ensure that the source code matches the data flow and control flow that is defined in the software architecture. Now, you can get partial credit for this objective based on the control flow and data flow analysis that is done by Polyspace. Similarly, you have the third objective, which requires source code to be verifiable. And again, when you look at the explanation, it says that the source code should not contain statements and structures that cannot be verified. So dead code comes to mind here, and Polyspace dead code detection helps you in getting credit for this objective. Similarly, we also have table A6 that specifies objectives for testing of outputs of integration process. And let's again look at one of these, maybe the first objective, which says executable object code should comply with high-level requirements. And again, you'll have to look for the explanation there. And when you look at the reference section 6.4.2.3, as mentioned in the table, it talks about detecting errors like incorrect initializations of variables and constants, data corruption with global data, and so on and so forth. So some of it is covered with Polyspace, and you can gain credit for those parts by use of Polyspace tools. So in order to gain credits, you have to provide evidence, and artifacts generated by Polyspace can help you in this process. So I have here a few artifacts, like the call graphs for control flow, and you have the data dictionary report. In addition to these, you can also create compliance reports for coding standards. All these are artifacts that can be automatically generated and used as part of the certification process. Now, if we go back to the DO-178 workflow, we've already talked about this, the various places that Polyspace can help you with, especially in the verification and the conformance stages. But it is also part of the model-based design process. So Polyspace has tight integration with tools like Simulink and Embedded Coder. So you have a whole set of tools that can help you in the development process to speed it up and also make it more efficient. So if there is someone looking at model-based design workflow, there's a whole set of tools in addition to Polyspace that help you in the development process. Last but not least, we also have the qualification kit. So any tool that is used in the DO-178 development process needs to be qualified, and this has to be done for the application. So a tool should be qualified to be used in the DO-178 development process. And in order to do that, MathWorks provides a DO-178 qualification kit that contains the required documents, such as the tool qualification plans, tool operational requirements, test procedures, and the rest of the documentation that helps you in qualifying the tools for the DO-178 process. With that, I conclude the presentation here, and I think we have a Q&A session to follow. So I'm going to hand it over this to Jerry back again.
Thank you, Ram. That was very informative. I picked up quite a bit out of that presentation there. I'd like to remind the audience again that we are taking questions. So if you have any questions, feel free to submit those. I do have a few of them here that I'd like to just kind of go over with you real quick, Ram, that have come in. One of them, and it happens to tie to that very last slide, I just want to confirm, is PolySpace a DO8 178 qualified tool? Ben, is that what you're saying with that last slide?
That's a great question, Jerry. So a tool cannot claim to be DO 178 certified or qualified because the DO 178 process requires you to qualify tools that you use as part of the development process. So it is upon the folks developing the application to qualify the tools. So you need to qualify PolySpace by yourself, and the qualification kit that I just presented, that helps you in the process because it gives you the tool qualification plans and other templates that are required for you to qualify PolySpace tools.
Okay. Another question, how does the PolySpace account for configuration settings like calibration data and so on when you're working with it?
Again, really good question, slightly advanced topic, but PolySpace CodeProver has this functionality called DRS, which is short for Data Range Specification. Now, this capability provides you with an interface to provide things like the calibration data. And again, using this is pretty much straightforward. PolySpace analyzes your code to generate a template that you basically use to feed the data into the verification, and this helps you in doing some of the contextual verification that's required as part of your verification process.
Okay. What happens if PolySpace runs into kernel calls that it doesn't recognize? How does it handle those?
Could you repeat that?
How does PolySpace handle kernel calls that it does not recognize?
So there are stubbing that you can do to kind of replace some of those, or you can also define there are scripts that you can write using Perl. If there are constructs that PolySpace does not recognize, there is a way to kind of substitute them. This can be automated or this can be done manually. I think, yeah, that's what you would do to kind of address some of these code constructs that PolySpace does not understand.
Okay, so that goes into the next question. And so it sounds like you can automate PolySpace by using scripts.
Yes, that's correct. So PolySpace has a command line functionality that gives you the ability to automate the analysis. You can either write batch scripts to run analysis, or you can also use it to integrate it into build systems such as Jenkins, which is done quite often among some of the customers.
Okay. Well, how about the things like how does PolySpace handle interprocedural analysis?
Great question. So, yes, both the PolySpace Code Prover and Bug Finder can either verify single files when you're developing them. So you might want to do robustness checking for on a file-by-file basis. Or you can also put together a set of files into a unit or a module, and PolySpace tools will take care of the relationships between these different files, be it variables, functions, while analyzing the code. So PolySpace can handle interprocedural analysis.
Okay. Are there any limitations on using PolySpace with C++?
There are some limitations, especially with C++ 11. So under development to support all of the constructs that are provided with the C++ 11 that has come out recently. And the proof part becomes a little more complex with all of the complexities of C++ code with classes and inheritance and so on and so forth. But the critical thing here is very rarely is C++ used. It's gaining popularity, but it's still C that is predominantly used for safety-critical parts of your code. So that's what we have seen with a lot of our customers. Most of the critical parts of your code are in C, and C++ is used marginally for other things.
Okay. The question came in on the factor limits on size and number of compilation units and modules. I mean, this is something I was kind of wondering. How big of a piece of code can I work on? And also, does it work on object code without source?
Great question. So there are two different answers to this. Depending on the size of, for the size of the code, Polyspace Bug Finder is meant to go through a potential million lines of code. So you can push as much code through it as you can because it uses fast formal methods to analyze the code. But the code prover, it's a deep verification tool, and when you try to push more than 500,000 lines of code, you might start running into hardware limits such as memory and things like that. So it's not recommended to push huge amounts of code through the code prover product. But I think when we have worked with a lot of customers, we actually see that it makes sense to submit the code in modules. And these are smaller units that Polyspace Code Prover can analyze. And that's a much better workflow when you're analyzing your code. So you have tools for both. So you can push the entire code base through the Bug Finder, but you would rather analyze the independent modules using Code Prover. And the other question, other part of the question was, how does Polyspace deal with compiled code without source code? Unfortunately, Polyspace is a static analysis tool, so you would need the source code to be able to analyze. But one way to deal with that is you can stub your object code. Polyspace can generate stubs. Polyspace also has mechanisms where you can specify stubs, and you can still go ahead with your analysis.
Okay. This is a good one. I remember this back from college programming days. How does Polyspace detect race conditions?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So race conditions, there will be two answers here. Because Bug Finder is a tool that is based on fast formal methods and it's not relying on proof, it is able to detect race conditions. So it can, whenever it sees there's a possibility of shared variables being accessed without locking, things like that, it's able to report on that. The proof part, it becomes a bit complex, and the only form of race condition detection it can do is when there is there's no protection against concurrent use of variables. So if you have two functions trying to access the same variable without some sort of a mutex locking that's happening, then it'll report a race condition. And I think Go Finder is going to add more features in that area.
Okay. Couple of questions on how well Polyspace works with other pieces of software, like how does it work with VxWorks?
So when it comes to analysis, Polyspace just treats it as any other C code. So I do not have specific examples of how it works with things like VxWorks. So it just treats it as your normal C code, and if there are interrupts and things, then there are mechanisms where you could also specify that. I guess that's about, that would be my answer. Maybe it's a question that could be discussed in greater detail offline.
Yeah, I can cover that offline with somebody. How about with Simulink AutoCode? Does it integrate with
that? Yeah, with Simulink, I think the process becomes a lot easier because of the integration of these tools with MATLAB. The tools have all the information that is captured in your Simulink model is propagated into your analysis. So you have all the data that is specified in your model for the analysis, and this eases the setup process. And when you're done analyzing the generated code, You can also take back these results and pinpoint the exact model or exact blocks in your model that might have potential defects, or if you want to say in case of let me take an example of dead code, you'll be able to trace it back and find exact blocks that generates. So sometimes it helps you in also thinking about your model architecture and things of that nature.
Okay. One last question that's showing up here is how does Polyspace determine the runtime behavior without any dynamic analysis?
Oh, interesting question. There's a lot of so I'll probably may not be doing complete justice because this is the technology behind the product. So Polyspace uses the formal methods technique known as abstract interpretation, and what it does on a very abstract level is it interprets the entire code into a mathematical model. So it creates an internal formal model. And by analyzing that using formal analysis, it's able to prove certain properties of the code itself. So that's what gives Polyspace Code Prover the ability to prove certain things about your software, which is otherwise not possible.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're out of questions right at this point. Are there any closing comments you'd like to make before we sign off?
I think, I just hope that a couple of key points or takeaways from this presentation was the advances in formal methods technology now helps us kind of speeden the process of verification, especially when you're trying to adhere to standards like DO and ISO 26262. So these standards are stringent for a reason, and you can leverage the formal methods technique to kind of be smart about the testing and verification activities and kind of shorten the process. And it definitely makes it less manual, and it automates a lot of the verification processes that are involved.
Anything else?
No, that's it from me, Jerry.
Okay.
If there are any more questions.
Let me just check here one more time. Well, one question just did come in. How does it integrate with Rhapsody?
So, Polyspace Code Prover and Bug Finder, both of them integrate with Rhapsody. They can take – so there are three tools, right? Simulink, TargetLink, and Rhapsody, all of these kind of follow model-based design paradigm, and the integration is kind of same. It's just tighter across the MathWorks tool chain, but we do have integration to Rhapsody as well.
Okay. Well, that's all the questions. We're getting about time to wrap up, so I think I'll go ahead and do that. I'd like to remind anybody, if you do have questions, feel free to contact your local MathWorks representative. Ron, that was an excellent presentation today. I know I picked up quite a bit out of that. So I'd like to go ahead and wrap this up. Today's event and the previous eCasts are archived on the Open Systems Media website. Archived eCasts can be replayed at your convenience, and today's event will be posted shortly at the location indicated on your slides. I'd like to thank Ron again for today's presentation. I hope that you, the audience, will find this information helpful in making future design decisions that you have to make. And thank you for your participation in today's eCast. I'd like to invite you to return for future events, and please pass the word on to others who might benefit from this type of information. On behalf of Open Systems Media, have a great day.